The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Beware the Ides of May. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Where are those Ides?
Right smack in the middle of your halfway down your head. Well, it is May 15th, 2011. It just came to me out of no place.
Et tu, Brute?
Yes. And there is much to discuss this week. Oh, man.
There's way too much to fit into the time we have, but that's how it works here at Gilbert House.
That's why we do it, because there's so much going on. Boy, if ever there was a piece of evidence that really indicates that the death of the American Republic is just about upon us, well, we saw it this past week.
And it's everywhere. In fact, we woke up and it was written all over the walls. In permanent marker, mind you.
Yes. So, well, we'll jump right into that. It came from a surprising place. I mean, normally when we see these kinds of things that really run that coming from judicial rulings, they generally seem to come from very liberal courts, things that run directly, completely counter to the Constitution of the United States. It usually comes, it seems, from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in California.
That is true. Just so you know, by the way, bookkeeping today is May the 15th of 2011. Mm-hmm. So there you go. This will give you a little reference point as to, you know, if you're listening to this in the future, you're thinking, oh, it's been like this for years.
Yeah, exactly. What are these people talking about? Where were they?
We never had those rights.
That's right. On May 12th of this year, a ruling came down from the Supreme Court of the state of Indiana, which
I know, my home state.
Oh, we have no home.
Have no home state.
Hunted, despised. reference to Bela Lugosi for you playing the home game. Supreme Court of Indiana ruled on Thursday that citizens in the Hoosier state no longer have a right to legally resist if the police want to enter the home illegally, unlawfully.
Unlawfully, with no legal cause. In other words, no matter why they knock on your door, if they want in, you better let them in.
You have no legal grounds to refuse them entry.
That's the state Supreme Court that said that.
Before you say, well, this is not that big a deal. This overturns common law that dates back to the Magna Carta of 1215.
Yes.
Yeah, this is
something. Whatever happened to, hey, where's your warrant?
A man's home is his castle.
Yes.
Fourth Amendment protection against illegal search and seizure. The government required to produce a warrant, and a very specific warrant, detailing exactly why you're a suspect and what they hope to find by searching through your stuff. Now the police can just say, look, we want to come in. And you have no right, according to this was a 3-2 decision by the Supreme Court of Indiana. And according to this ruling, you no longer have a right to resist.
Quoting, it's a presumption of guilt.
Yes.
No matter what you're doing, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
Walking down the street, I could, you know, if I were a policeman, I could just knock on your door or knock down your door.
That's right. And you have no, in the state of Indiana, no longer, according to the court, a right to protest or get in the way of the police.
And you know what? This is, we've got to find out if Napolitano has weighed in on this.
Judge Andrew Napolitano. I'll bet he has, but this is big enough. You would think that this would be all over the news and all over the radio talk shows on Friday.
It's like Indiana Supreme Court just burned the Constitution because, in their words, this is a, what did they say, a modern interpretation?
That's correct. Quoting from the decision written by Justice Stephen David, who was writing for the court.
Sam's had it, he says.
He's disgusted. He's out of here. Quote, we believe a right to resist an unlawful police entry into a home is against public policy and is incompatible with modern Fourth Amendment jurisprudence.
Okay, read that again.
We believe a right to resist an unlawful police entry into a home is against public policy and is incompatible with modern Fourth Amendment jurisprudence.
your right to insist upon a legal document, a warrant, something guaranteed to you in the Constitution. Why, that's against public policy.
Yep. The text of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, in case you're not familiar with it, and frankly, you know, I have to look it up just to be sure exactly what I'm talking about here. I'll quote, "The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized." In other words, unless a judge signs off on a very specific warrant, and this is something that's been...
Well, it's been deteriorating now for years, right. Ever since September of 2001, sorry.
Right, where they say, well, you know, your email, really, you have no presumption of privacy or assumption of privacy when you're, you know, out in public, and we can just watch
you wherever you are. Well, let's just sum it up. Yeah. You have no rights.
Exactly. And now they're taking this a step farther and saying, essentially, you have no right to privacy inside your own home. Of course, you still can insist on the right to privacy for, you know, a teenage girl to go have an abortion in some parts of the U.S. without her parents knowing about it. That right of privacy apparently still is inviolable, but or unalienable. But the modern Fourth Amendment jurisprudence in the United States apparently means that if the police come to your door, knock it down, you have no right to step up and say, hey, you have no right to be here.
What a world we're living in right now. We can go out and we can hit anybody that we choose to as a government. If our government head says, this guy, this gal has got to go, we now have the technology to find that person anywhere in the world, real time, and send a UAV or a SEAL team after them and take them out.
It's astonishing. This should be big news on left and right. And, I am driving quite a bit these days with my job and listening to a lot of talk radio, listen to a lot of podcasts, too. I've got to say, Dr. Future and Tom Bionic are my co-pilots as I'm driving around Southern Illinois. Russ Dizdar and a few other, Chris White, some other, podcasts from the Revelations Radio Network. I really didn't hear any of the talking heads that I will listen to on various radio stations. I didn't hear Rush or Glenn or Sean talking to anybody.
This sort of slipped under the radar.
Right. This was a ruling on Thursday. So Friday, there should have been time for for people to pick this up and show producers to hand this to the host and say, hey, this is a big deal. For a judge to say, and continuing now reading from the ruling by Judge Stephen David, we also find that allowing resistance unnecessarily escalates the level of violence.
Allowing resistance, and those crazy tinfoil hat wearing birther,
birther, truther, deather, patriot, wackos,
constitutioner,
it just unnecessarily escalates the level of violence, and therefore the risk of injuries to all parties involved without preventing the arrest. And Judge David went on to say that a person arrested following an unlawful entry by police still can be released on bail and has plenty of opportunities to protest the illegal entry through the court system. In other words, you have to prove that you're innocent.
Exactly. Presumption of guilt.
This stands American, what we assume to be our rights under the Constitution, on their head. This is astonishing.
This is, it's like living under Stalin, isn't it?
Yes. This is not the America we thought it was. I mean, the president has the right to declare anyone an enemy combatant and have him assassinated without any oversight.
Did police... we flip to the other side of the globe without knowing it? May Day, we woke up and suddenly we'd started assassinating heads of other countries. And now our constitutional rights are in the garbage pail.
It's like we've woken into an alternate universe. It really is bizarre.
Well, you and I have been talking about other things that have to do with the hit on bin Laden, and that is the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency.
Yes, this is a little known
And this fits in with the presumption of guilt.
Yeah, this is a little known arm of the intelligence apparatus. And, I've not read much. Yeah, you did more, most of the reading about this past week.
I've been reading about this.
I did some study on this group, on this organization, before I wrote The God Conspiracy, because I made reference to it in The God Conspiracy, which is dating back now. When did I write that? About 5-6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because it was based in St. Louis, and I set a lot of the story in St. Louis, which I was familiar with because we lived there then.
That's true.
It was headquartered out there at...
That was their big headquarters. Right. However, their bigger headquarters are now on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. They've got this gigantic facility that it's so big that you can put, no kidding, you could put the Statue of Liberty in the atrium.
That's big.
That's a big place. And in fact, there's an article at theatlantic.com, and it's from May the 5th, titled "The Little Known Agency That Helped Kill Bin Laden."
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. If you have seen the movie Evil Eye, Eagle Eye, sorry, Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Then you know essentially what the National Geospatial Agency does. It combines all of the intelligence streams all over the globe and combines them into data that is available real time. In other words, what I was saying earlier about presumption of guilt, and if someone decides that you are guilty of something, they can find you. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are.
Yeah.
Got a phone on you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, this is relates to the presentation that I gave on Canton, Ohio.
But it's more than just, do you have a phone on you? Have you gotten into a car lately?
Sure.
Are you identifiable by being, say, 6 feet tall, 5 feet tall?
Mm-hmm.
A female of approximate weight getting into this type of vehicle at this time of day?
I have to wonder about some of these, like OnStar, and you don't listen to as much talk radio as I do now that I'm driving around all the time, but there's an ad campaign going on right now that is all over the radio that's encouraging people, to push the blue OnStar button in their GM vehicle, even if they're not an OnStar subscriber, because they're giving away, you know, these really great prizes. They're giving away, you know, cars and cash and stuff like that. Just push your button to enter. You know, only one button push per car.
Now, you and I have talked about this before, but do you remember, and I'm talking not only to Derek, but also to all of our listeners, do you recall that another name for Osiris is On?
Yeah, and wasn't Potiphar the priest that Joseph...
Yes, he was the priest of On.
Right, yeah. So OnStar is... through General Motors is encouraging everybody who's driving one of their vehicles to give that button a push, so that apparently just verifying that it works in all these cars, perhaps. But they've got your sister's car.
Mm-hmm. They were able to tell exactly how many passengers. Well, you three ladies, how do you know there are three of us? I even asked him that, and he said, I can just tell.
Mm-hmm.
But how?
And watch out, that rain is coming your way. Should be there in about 17 minutes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, he knew that it was raining. He knew that there were three of us in the car. He knew all three of us were ladies.
Which makes you wonder if they're looking for someone of a particular size, if they've got a sensor in the vehicle that can tell, okay, the
person in this, it weighs approximately 150 right. pounds. Yeah.
The weight of an unladen Escalade. And what's your favorite color? Blue. No, green. So, right. We are living in a total surveillance society, and even in ways that we don't normally think of. You know, I think we've come to understand, at least those of us who are really paying attention to what's going on, understand that our cell phones, which are a great convenience and can be a security feature. I mean, let's be honest. If you're stuck because of a mechanical problem in the middle of no place, it's kind of nice to be able to call for help.
Yes, it is.
Especially if you've got,
children, you're very glad that
right.
they have cars.
But the fact is that through your phone, through your vehicle, through your iPod or iPad, now with the GPS device in your iPad, you can be you can be tracked. They can tell where it's pinging off of various servers or whatever. You know, it's not a coincidence that Facebook, which is collecting all of this data that we're feeding into this massive open source intelligence gathering operation, And I mean open source in the sense that we are all feeding into it rather than having agents out there actively collecting it on us. We're giving information to Facebook that one of the very first investors in Facebook was the venture capital firm owned by the Central Intelligence Agency.
Mm-hmm.
So we are all a part of this system.
Well, you know what? It's more than just our devices pinging. I mean, they can also use satellite technology, which is far better than they're giving you, you know, letting us know.
Right.
They can get down to really, really small, small enough that they're using face recognition technology. Mm-hmm. So not only, okay, if I'm looking for you, I'm looking for someone who's approximately 6 feet tall, drives a new model car that's a compact, has a beard,
mm-hmm.
and they would even have photographs of you, you know, to be able to recognize you as you get into the car. They know the approximate area you are in, even if you don't have your car, your phone with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they wanted to take you out, they probably could.
Just like in the movie Eagle Eye.
Just like in Eagle Eye. That if you have not seen that movie, not only is Shia LaBeouf, or however he pronounces his Shia,
mm-hmm.
He's really good.
Really
in
good. Yeah.
But it's a really creepy storyline.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that the technology actually becomes sentient and decides that mankind isn't worth saving. And so decides to government isn't worth it. So decides to take out the decapitate the government.
Right. The president and his advisors, with the exception of the Secretary of Defense, are a threat to national security mm-hmm. because of some decision they made with which the computer disagrees.
Now, let me tell you, the story that I read this past week that dovetails into this is that there are algorithms being used on Wall Street that are used in the trading, and there are various aspects of this. And there, the article that I read theorized that at least two or more of these algorithms are starting to fight each other,
mm-hmm.
and that may be explaining the odd behavior of Wall Street
sure.
and the markets lately. That almost as if these algorithms are doing the trading, and they're fighting each other because they have different sets of
criteria.
Thank you very much. Now, picture not only that they're fighting each other, but that actually decide, like in the movie The Birds, they become sentient. That's mm-hmm. what Eagle Eye is all about. Having this technology out there is so dangerous. It sets up movies, you know, storylines like Terminator. And you can almost fill in the blank. There are so many post-apocalyptic movies that are out there that have to do with technology
exactly,
going,
right.
you know, overboard.
Yeah, Skynet, which is the Terminator
and
computer.
What was the one from Doctor Who? Archangel, yes.
Which was the system used by the Master, who was sort of an Antichrist figure.
Well, this is really, I mean, you and I have talked. If today were day one of the tribulation period, the final seven years
mm-hmm.
of the 70-week countdown that was given to Daniel. If this were the final week, the beginning of that last 7 years, midpoint, 3.5 years from now, the Antichrist could on a dime turn all of this technology into the most horrendous, crushing, fascist state
mm-hmm.
that you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
In fact, he could do it within a week from now. I mean, it amazes me what is out there.
Yeah. And then coming back to our initial story, we've got legal framework being laid for to deny us the opportunity to even protest that sort of a development.
Now, we've been saying that if you are presumed guilty, they can find you. But what if they decide that they're going to set you up? Now we're going to go to a story that just broke yesterday.
Yeah, this is really a weird story, and we don't know the details here.
We don't know if he's been set up or not, but it sure seems
suspicious.
Convenient.
And as we've discussed before, we talked about this last week. How do we know what we know? If the government is our only source of information, and most of what passes for journalism in the world these days is just reporters regurgitating press releases that come from various world governments mm-hmm. and corporations. How do we know what we know? if they choose to make you, for whatever reason, appear to be a pedophile and put it out on the news as fact, of course, the news media will pick it up and report it dutifully. So-and-so is suspected of blah, blah, blah. And in the minds of most people who then would see your picture splashed all over the internet, television, newspaper, you're already guilty.
Yes.
So a story came out late yesterday that the head, the managing director of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, has been arrested in New York. His name is Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He's been accused of sexual assault against a 31-year-old hotel maid in New York City. Monsieur Strauss-Kahn is 62. He's the head of the Socialist Party in France and was mentioned as a potential presidential candidate in the upcoming elections in France. So what are we seeing here? I mean, apparently this guy has a reputation as a womanizer. But again, this is per the story. Mm-hmm. So again, we're only reporting what's being reported to us. According to Associated Press, he's got the nickname the Great Seducer.
Well, you know, if he's such a yes. great seducer.
He's the great seducer. Yeah. Because he'd been accused of an affair with a subordinate in France, but that still wasn't
That's
enough.
An affair. That is not a sexual assault.
The story goes that this woman entered the suite in the Sofitel Hotel in New York City, thinking at about 1 o'clock
in the afternoon.
In the afternoon,
1300 hours.
Oh, interesting. Yes, and this is a $3,000 a night suite, so this is a very posh hotel. Early Saturday afternoon, and she thought it was unoccupied. She entered the room, entered the suite rather, and Strauss-Kahn emerged from the bathroom. And I'm quoting the story now: naked. Chased her down a hallway and pulled her into a bedroom where he sexually assaulted her. This is according to
a housekeeper.
A New York Police Department
spokesperson. That's what we're told. A housekeeper,
right?
Excuse me, is claiming that he sodomized her.
Hmm. This is really odd. I mean,
well, he was arrested sitting very quietly and calmly on the Air France jet. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
A couple of minutes before they were to take off.
Mm-hmm. He was pulled off the
plane. And he was asked what's going on. And he didn't seem at all flustered. Now, mind you, when he fled the hotel, allegedly, he fled the hotel and left his passport and his wallet behind? Cell phone?
He left his cell phone. It just says he left his cell phone behind.
Okay.
Yeah, so he left his cell phone. He was arrested, charged with Criminal Sex Act, attempted rape, and unlawful imprisonment. And authorities are looking for any forensic evidence and DNA. Again, widely considered the strongest potential challenger next year to President Nicolas Sarkozy in France, which makes us wonder, is this something that was set up by the president of France? It really, again, we don't know very much about Monsieur Strauss-Kahn, you know, what his background is. Just from this article, but doesn't it seem odd that a 62-year-old guy, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, caught coming out of the shower by a housemaid? I mean, your typical response would be to pull a towel around. You say, oh, excuse me, you know, mm-hmm. I'm in here, you know, can you come back later? Not to chase the woman down the hallway and drag her into the bedroom.
Exactly. You know, it could be that it happened exactly the way the woman says.
It's very possible.
It could be that it was a setup. You know, not only for political reasons, but also for, you know, as far as being the head of the IMF, perhaps there's some sort of internal struggle going on.
Who knows? A foreign policy magazine last November listed
someone to scapegoat?
Yeah. Strauss-Kahn last year listed by Foreign Policy magazine behind only Warren Buffett and Bill Gates on a list of the top 100 global thinkers. So this is a guy who is...
Today he's called a global stinker.
A heavyweight internationally, especially with the globalists. So we just have to wonder what's behind this story.
I don't know. I really don't. Well, total left turn, and this is a story coming from a German newspaper, Die Bild. The translation of the article from the original German, courtesy of Google, crystal skull of SS leader Heinrich Himmler may have been discovered.
Ooh.
The discovery enables historians in an uproar. Yes, I know that sounds strange, but it is a German translation, English translation of the original German. For centuries, give the mysterious skull of riddles. Now, there are those who are claiming that this is the 13th skull that has been uncovered. The so-called God's Skull of Bavaria. So, well, I don't know. It seems like an interesting thing to happen during a very interesting week, the celebration of the 63rd birthday of the modern state of Israel. And at the same time, during the last week or so, and I think culminating today, has been an alignment of the inner six planets along with our moon.
Yeah, there are certainly those who
the
put...
The Ides of May.
Yeah. And those who will put a lot of emphasis on this. Crystalskulls.com, of course, is reporting on this Himmler...
Of course they are. Of course they
says are. Says it's a developing story reputed to belong to Hitler's SS chief. And, of course, Himmler was really instrumental or was really... prominent in the cult of Nazism, as we discussed with Peter Lavenda in the past.
He had that round table in that little castle and the whole secret skulls.
Hans, are we a baddie? Yeah, it is being reported in a magazine called Mysteries. It's a Swiss magazine, Mysteries magazine. That this skull surfaced in Bavaria, supposedly among the personal belongings of Heinrich Himmler, discovered along with a top-secret three-page inventory list dated April 1945. The original document lists such famous artworks as the center panel of the altarpiece of, is this Ghent, G-H-E-N-T? Yeah, would not be Ghent, Kentucky.
No, it'd be Ghent.
Ghent in Belgium. Egyptian artifacts believed to have been lost and secret documents of... the German super weapon expert, General Hans Kammler. I have to get Joseph.
Get Peter Lavenda on.
Well, get Lavenda on, too, to talk about this. So anyway, yeah, we'll put a link to the articles here so that you can check this out. Now, please understand, if you're a new listener to PID Radio, that we don't place any supernatural or you know, believe that the crystal skulls hold any power other than
The enemy might, and those who worship the enemy might.
And that's it. And as Russ Dizdar has discussed, there are rituals that are performed by those who follow the left-hand path to try to charge these types of objects with some sort of supernatural, you know, power. So, you know, what does it mean? It is interesting that it's supposedly been located now in time for the big 2012 celebrations. So.
Well, and according to, that one pastor, well, man who calls himself a pastor, May 21st, supposed to be the end of the world?
Oh, right. Charles, see how much attention we pay to him that we're not, May 21st is the date, and... the guy behind Family Radio.
We're both clacking away.
Clacking away here. Yep, there we go.
The first one to get it wins.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can find his website at familyradio.com. And he goes into all of the supposed proof from the Bible as to what this is all about. And I know that there are listeners out there who are going through, who are listening to this right now, just shouting his name because we should know, should have it. It's
like Blue's Clues.
Yeah. Come on, Blue. You can get it. Oh, gosh.
It's got to be buried in this article that I'm reading somewhere. Good heavens.
I know, and I should have it here. There have been articles that have been all over the major media, AP, CNN, Fox, reporting on this, and I'm really aggravated. I can't remember the name of the...
Well, I'm aggravated that I'm looking at different articles.
Not Charles. Harold Camping. Harold Camping.
Harold Camping. That is not in this article. His name does not appear in this article anywhere.
Yep.
I'm looking at Evangelist Group predicts end of the world is May 21st.
Right.
Do they have his name? No, they don't.
Yeah. Salon.com has a new article just published today following up on this. So again,
but hey, at the same time, we've got a group of women in Russia who believe that Putin is the Apostle Paul.
Yeah, religious cult that has sprung up
all
in
women,
Russia.
All women who think that Putin is the Apostle Paul.
Yep. It's founded by one Mother Fotinia, based in a small village in central Russia. And they've got an icon that they believe miraculously appeared one day. And they point out all of these supposed parallels between the lives of the Apostle Paul and Vladimir Putin. So, Vlad Putin?
I've never seen them in the same room at the same time.
Well, that is powerful evidence.
I know.
On the west coast of the United States, changing gears, sharks washing up on the shore of California.
Leopard sharks, aren't they?
Dozens of leopard sharks since April have washed up on the shores there. And a necropsy of one of them shows that it died of massive internal bleeding, blood even coming out of the shark's skin, and experts have no clue as to what's going on or how extensive this issue really is, if this is just limited to leopard sharks or if there are other fish and mammals that are somehow...
This is really chilling when you take a look at Bible prophecy that talks about one-third of the oceans and the freshwater turning to blood.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get animals in the sea that have hemorrhagic diseases or appear to have hemorrhagic symptoms that lead to death. That's really creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bacterial study and microscopic tissue analyses are underway, and we'll report on this if we see more on this issue. But as of now, it is a mystery. And, it's probably a stretch, given the volume of water between Japan and California.
I know. Really, to say that the radiation,
yeah, the
radioactivity
Fukushima,
there, yeah,
right, is leaching into the
well,
water
maybe.
And causing issues.
I don't know.
But something is out there causing leopard sharks to die, and whether it's a shark specific disease, the experts just don't know. So
I think that's sad. Well, we want to remind you, just in case you are going to be anywhere close to Branson in July, that you put on your calendar the Future Congress event.
Yes, July 22nd.
The event of the year.
July 22nd through 24th in Branson, Missouri. It is, Tom Horn has really pulled together an amazing list of people, and we're honored just to be there, much less to be among the people actually presenting. We'll be conducting workshops. I'll essentially be giving a revised and updated version of the talk that I gave in Canton, Ohio.
And mine is going to be revised of what I gave actually in Canton as well, with a few little extras. We do have an extra speaker coming with us, though.
Oh, yes. So Sam T. Doxent will be coming with us.
He will be there.
Yeah, it's a pet-friendly hotel.
It is.
Praise
Yay!
God. Sam will be making the trip to Missouri with us. But other speakers at this event include Tom Horn, of course, Nita Horn, Chuck Missler.
Oh,
I'm really
gosh,
looking forward
I can't
to meeting
wait to
him.
Meet him.
Yeah. G. Edward Griffin, who's
mm-hmm.
written
Another
extensively
one I want to
about
meet.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
global economic issues. Noah Hutchings of Southwest Radio mm-hmm. Ministries. Gary Stearman from Prophecy in the News.
I know. Now, he is another one. This whole list.
Mm-hmm.
I am so honored to be, I'm like a kid in a candy store.
Prophecy scholar Terry James, who I've interviewed. Ray Gano, executive director of Prophezine. Chris Pinto, the documentary filmmaker.
Yes, in fact, if you've wanted to see his movie, Riddles and Stone, it's going to be shown that very first afternoon, opposite my talk. I'll probably, if I'm not in the room when you get there, if you sign up for my talk and I'm not in the room, I'm probably over in the movie theater
That's
watching
right.
Prophecies and
That's
Stone.
Right. Dr. Future Riddles and Tom Bionic, or Dr. Michael Bennett and Mike Tater Jr. from Future Quake. Chris White of Nowhere to Run podcast mm-hmm. and debunkumentary expert, filmmaker Rob Skiba. Skiba.
I think it's Skiba.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to the interview that I did with Rob. Rob, forgive us.
Rob, Sheila, sorry if we've mispronounced your names.
Oh, we're so bad. Andrew Hoffman and more.
We call it Guilbert.
Yes, and we would deserve that. And details are online at www.futurecongress.com. That's futurecongress.com. There's a link at pidradio.com.
There's also a page on Facebook.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
Because Sharon is taking the reins as the...
I'm the official blogger.
The official blogger of the Future Congress and Emerging Threats.
I'm the bloggina.
So the internet will be filled with bloggy goodness.
Sam's the official dogger.
Chief of security, he told me.
Yeah, well, that is true. He will be that. Well, we can't wait for it. And we are so blessed to have each and every one of you out there listening. And if you just started listening, just so you understand, where we really come from is that we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts, souls, and minds. And that is our desire, to take what's happening in the news, the things that you're dealing with every day, and try to put them into perspective for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if we've managed to do that, that, may the Lord be honored for it. If we've missed the mark, that's on us.
Exactly right. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here.